Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Em, and today I'm chatting with David Lesser.
Getting in touch with who you are, what you're really about essentially, the things that hold you back, and ways that you can encourage yourself to get a new perspective, to commit to next steps that make a change.
David is a social entrepreneur who believes the best way to change the world is to empower people to be more fully themselves. He has guided people and organizations through crucial transitions for over 35 years, acting as a coach and confidant to CEOs and senior executives, aspiring to the highest levels of personal growth in a variety of fields. David's also the founder and CEO of Enumena, an at-home retreat of deep reflection and vision to fuel the next chapter of your life. I found this episode incredibly empowering. I know you're all going to love it too. David is giving us the tools to hone in on our unique gift in life. Within the episode, I'm actually David's guinea pig, and we're going to be going through real sections of his at-home retreat kit. I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling pretty vulnerable sharing this episode because I'm on the other side of the mic and we're getting pretty deep and pretty raw. So be sure to listen through. Now let's get into my chat with David. David, hi, and welcome to the Big Move podcast.
Great, thank you. And I am so thrilled we get to do this together. Thank you for having me, Emily.
Me too, David. I've heard so much about you. I'm really thrilled to have you. Thank you for taking the time today. To be honest, this is a bit of like uncharted territory for the podcast. I can't say that we really had a true business coach with the caliber of background that you have. So we are really excited to just dive right into things with you. Do you mind just setting the stage and giving our audience a brief background on who you are?
Yes. Well, as you said, I'm an executive coach. I work almost exclusively with CEOs ranging from startup kind of people to Fortune 50 kind of people. I've been lucky enough to work with some really great leaders. And it's been a real honor to do this work. And I think what I'm about is empowering people to discover their unique gifts and find the most conducive setting to express them.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait to get really nitty gritty into that later. I think people are going to get really excited about this particular subject matter. I guess to back up on this podcast, I love to talk about our guests' big moves. So whether it's moving cities or countries or launching the brand or the business or making a big risk or decision in their careers, you've done all of the above. I'd love to touch on your big move in particular from London to the States. So you are London born and bred. I'm sort of sitting in a reverse seat than you. I'm an American living in London currently. But can you kind of take us back? Like, when did you move to the US and what prompted that move for you?
Yes. And as I do that, I want to say that as a coach, I'm so often working with people in crucial transitions. It's actually rather nice to have you talk about mine. But I think so much of people's growth happens when some kind of reinvention takes place. And as you said, mine was London in the early 90s. I love London, but I also came to the end of what I was doing there. And that was important to recognize. I was the CEO of a real estate construction and home improvement group of companies. And it was kind of a big job. And I also came to the point where I felt like there was not much more I could contribute in that job. My interest and my passion was all about people emerging into their full true selves. And I started to feel like, you know what? I think I can help people more from a different place, not actually being employed by a company, but supporting people, being a confidant to people of influence. So that shift started to happen. And at that same time, I don't know if you had this experience when you left the US, but it's like all the doors suddenly seemed to be closing on me. And then suddenly one big one opened. And I had this opportunity to be the executive director of a nonprofit foundation based in Colorado. My wife was American. And so we just took it, boom, up, gone, and thrilled with the open vista, the new discoveries of who I am and what I've got to bring that happened because we had the courage, or we were somehow pushed by life to make a big move.
Absolutely. It's super fascinating. I'm really curious too, in terms of your move and your experience as a European living in the US, any like big obstacles or struggles that come to mind, I guess, like in the earlier days?
An English accent takes you quite far in this country. So I think I've been welcomed. Obviously, being a European on this continent gives me a perspective and a respect, I think, for how many different ways there are of being yourself, how many different ways there are of seeing the world and your place in it. And it's also given me respect, I think, for how much people do go through changes, how many people significantly reinvent themselves at different times in their life. And because I've been through that, I love the chance to work with people who are in the midst of those kind of shifts and changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything in particular you sort of miss from life in the UK, life back from where you're from?
Well, who wouldn't miss some things about London? It's a great city. Shopping in Selfridges. My mum used to take me when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. We used to take the tube into the city and make an adventure of it. And the art, the history, just the sheer beauty of the place. And oh my God, the Indian restaurants.
Oh, they're so good, aren't they?
Yes.
What's your favorite one?
Go on.
What's your favorite one? Do you have one?
I can't. The ones that I used to go to in London aren't there anymore.
Okay, fair.
Actually, they've got a lot more posh. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, not to make you all nostalgic, but yes, Selfridges shopping with your mother. That sounds absolutely divine. And the city it's a stunning, stunning cultural phenomenon. So
yeah, I want to share that when I went back to London, not so long ago, and you may have had an experience like this too, but I remember something about where the hotel I was staying in reminded me of my old life there. And I had a dream of an alternative reality where I hadn't made the big move. And I was still in London and I was living this like successful life. And in a way, all the doubts that I had showed up in that dream. It was like the things were just going great for me in that alternative London life. And then I woke up and I knew that the reality I was living in was so much better than the one I might have had if I hadn't done the big move.
Wow, that is like very inspiring, and thank you for sharing that.
Yes, yeah, it was less to show in a certain way, and in another way, so much more fulfillment to experience.
So David, your career track is incredibly impressive. You have done so much. I'd love to ask, like, where would you say your career ultimately started for you?
Yeah, well, I take it all the way back to my late teens. And I remember seeing my future through my dad's eyes. I saw the life that was expected of me. You may have had something like that too. And I just could not see myself in it. So I spent a few years searching. I went through alternative lifestyles, intentional communities, spiritual paths, until a mentor helped me see that I didn't have to like rebel by living off the grid or by making myself look different. I didn't have to look different in order to make a difference. And that's when I realized that I could function in the business world. I knew I was trained. I knew I had the ability to do that. And I could still bring my unique gifts there. So that's where it started, empowering people to deliver, to discover deeper self-awareness. And that's how I, in a way, clarified my most valuable contribution and got out of the idea that I have to have it look a certain way, but just to be in the place where I am and empower people to grow.
Wow. And so that leads me to like my next question of like,
how and when did you realize that that coaching was really your sort of true passion and your calling? And it sounds like from a very early stage of life, you sort of like felt this pull, would you say?
Yeah. And I think there was a moment when I think my first call was to leadership in some way, to serve and help make the world a better place, kind of typical sort of a general view of what I wanted to do. And then I remember someone asked me this question, do you want to be a king or a kingmaker? And I suddenly realized that it's more powerful to support other people, to bring their best stuff and have, so to speak, my finger in many pies, many, many great things happening in all sorts of places that I had helped contribute to, rather than just the one that I was helping. So I made it my business to support other people to become more fully themselves and bring my contribution that way.
Sure. And I guess through your years of coaching at the executive level and all of the different companies that you've obviously helped build and grow, like what has been your sort of overall approach as a business coach, would you say?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's about seeing what happens when people find and then commit to the expression of their unique gifts. I think that really is the core of it. Mm-hmm. People often show up. You've got to believe it. When you're a coach, people check in, and there's all these things that they think are wrong with them. And I smile because I know they want me to kind of fix them and make them into the ideal executive or the ideal human being.
Sure.
And no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out who you are and support you to be more fully yourself. And you know, an interesting example is maybe someone will say, I get feedback that I'm impatient. I want to be less impatient. And I don't know if you ever tried it. Tell someone not to be impatient. It just doesn't work.
I feel like I'm so impatient. So I completely relate to that feedback, yeah. By the way. Like...
Yeah. And so trying to trim people to make them look a certain way, it actually harms them. It doesn't really work. And so I want to like remove those limitations. And I always find that there's some part of the person that wants to come in. So the issue isn't that, let's say, you're so impatient. What I can help you do is see the impact of your impatience, to grow your awareness so that you're really tuned in to the people around you. You know the impact you're having on them. And I often say to my clients, it's not a crime to disturb people, but to do it without knowing the impact you've had, that's dangerous. But if you want to just like help someone wake up and smell the coffee a little bit, if you can do it and you know exactly the impact you've had, then if you've overstated it, you can clean it up. But if you think it's okay just to like swashbuckle your way through your team or something, you're going to be in trouble. But you can be fully yourself, including being fully aware of how you're affecting the people around you.
Got it. So it sounds like self-awareness is something that you really try to hammer home with your clients.
Yeah, I think for some people, it's about growing awareness. For other people, it's about growing confidence. For other people, it's about growing empathy. For other people, it's about whatever it is for them.
Sure, sure. And in the kind of towards the end of this conversation, we're going to dive into unique gifts and strengths and talents a little bit more, because I find that that's going to be really fascinating for the audience. Yeah. I guess to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Talking about networking, I think that's come up in looking at your story and looking at sort of everything that you're doing with Numina and everything you've done in your career so far. What has sort of been your experience with networking? Why are you passionate about it? Has it really like helped your career in so many ways?
Well, I very rarely find a client comes to me through any kind of advertising or something. Maybe I've just been lucky, but I think when people get to know who you are and what you can do, then they can tell other people what that is. It's I think you know what it is. And you said this to me earlier as well. It's kind of hard to tell somebody that I can open a new door in their lives. It's much easier for somebody who's had that door open for them, go to their friends and say, this has made a big difference to me. You need to find a way to grow that part of yourself one way or another. For me, it was connection with David Lesser or connection with a product like our at-home transformation retreat that did it. So networking enables me to showcase what I'm doing in a way that would be impossible any other way. Other people who've had benefit telling their friends about it, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess another thing I wanted to talk on with you and something that's come up is shadow work. So can you talk to us a little bit? I personally don't know what that means. So when it comes to your line of work, like what is shadow work and why is this pertinent to everything that you do as a coach?
Right. Well, shadow work's a set of cathartic tools that helps people integrate parts of who we are that for one reason or another, we push away. So for everyone, there's some part of you, maybe your confidence, maybe your genius, your empathy, your power to get stuff done. There's some part that has been less than fully engaged. For example, I got told not to be big because I had a younger sister, and when we would just play together, she would get hurt. So I got kind of shamed and punished for, you know, being fully myself in that sense. And it made me into a shy person. And shadow work helped me like find that and find the kind of glorious, bold part of me that had been repressed and enabled it to become more fully part of who I am today.
That's really fascinating. Do you have any tips or advice for someone who's maybe looking to explore that a little bit further? Is it through your retreat? Is it through any other like exercises in particular?
Yes. Oh, I think doing the Numina at Home Transformation Retreat would be a fantastic way to get to some of that stuff. And the only other thing I've got is find people in your life who you can really trust to be like supportive confidants for you. That's made a huge difference for me. I suspect it's so for you. But I really encourage people to set up preferably reciprocal relationships. You know, I have people that we have a phone call every month and some time where I can share what's going on for me and get support, times where my friend can share what's going on for them, get support. And I actually have different peoples who empower me in different ways. And I make that a priority in my life to be sure that I have a good surround where I feel like I can explore stuff with people I trust.
That's a really great tip. And to take it like a step further, like what do those conversations look like? Is it sort of like sharing where you're at with work? Is it asking for feedback on an idea? Is it sort of like anything you want sort of thing?
Yes. I have four people. So I have one person that challenges me to keep my vision big. I have another person that challenges me to be accurate and open in my relationships to make sure that I'm in touch with my feelings. And the shape of the conversation is very much like this. How are you doing today? What's going on? What are the challenges that are up for you? And is there anything else you want to talk about? And the really important thing, I think, is that the person doing the listening part in the conversation doesn't offer opinions or advice. Because that really doesn't help a person. You just end up feeling like you've been shoulded on, we call it. Like you just feel like someone's got an opinion about how you should be living your life. And now I've got to think about whether I agree with that or not. And if I don't agree with that, I've got to deal with, I might upset them because I'm not going to be doing what they think I should. What I want people to do is to share experiences. So with all these regular support calls that I have in my life, the people are very clear. they might say, oh, what you're saying reminds me of a time when I had this experience. Now, that's helpful. I might learn from their experience. I might even take something different from their experience than they took from it. So I think the skill of listening without fixing is the real key to make those conversations work.
Okay, absolutely. That makes so much sense. And I guess to dive into Noumena a little bit more, when did the idea for Noumena come about? What is it? What's it all about? Tell us everything.
Yes. So the Noumena At-Home Transformation Retreat started out because whenever I have clients that came to me for coaching, we always started with a 1 or 2 day retreat. And it would be my wife and I working together, typically with one executive, and a deep dive to start our work together. And of course, COVID came and we couldn't do that. We weren't having people in our house. People weren't getting on planes and doing in-person retreats. And for a while, I just thought, well, I can't really do that kind of coaching right now. Of course, we all thought the pandemic would be over quicker than it was. And I started to think about, I had clients that wanted to work with me. I actually, just now, I've had 3 clients in London in the last 3 months. We've done retreats. So what I did is I created a version of the retreat that I could do, people could do at across video conference calls. So I would send them a box of materials. It wasn't this nicely packaged box back then. It was just like a bunch of cardboard boxes with all the stuff we normally cover in a retreat.
Sure.
Instructions that we kept refining and refining and refining so that someone coming to do coaching could have an experience that was comparable to what we would do in person. Actually, it started to really work well. One of the friends that I mentioned, who was responsible for me, like keeping my vision big, said, you know, you could make a self-guided version of this that people could do at home that you didn't have to facilitate. And so we worked together creating a manual that made it super clear how to do it, designing all the materials so that they were easy to use, didn't need me, the coach, to take you there. You could do it on your own. And that's how we got going on this at-home transformation retreat.
I love it. And we're going to get into kind of a mock retreat, if you will. I'm going to be your guinea pig in just a few. But before we get into that, can you tell us about like sort of the basic directions and approaches for the retreat and sort of how those come into play?
Yeah, it's all the things that we've been talking about. It's about getting in touch with who you are, what you're really about essentially, the things that hold you back, and ways that you can encourage yourself to get a new perspective, to commit to next steps that make a change, to either live the life you have from a different place or make a change that you've been longing to make for a long, long time. I think you know that I think over 50% of the people who have been resigning from jobs just recently. I read this in a study that was done 2 weeks ago. Over 50% of employees who left their jobs during 2021 said they took the chance to switch careers, not just jobs, to find something that promised to be more satisfying in the long run. And that's really what we're helping. You've got to kind of peel back into yourself to see what it is that satisfies you, and then see what it is that's maybe the risks, dangers, or threats that have held you back from going for that in your life, and then make a clear choice and commit to following through on it.
Yeah. It's such a fascinating statistic. I'm really curious, like, what do you think really prompted people to finally take that leap? I mean, that's a big stat, you know, that's 50%. Yes. Obviously it's over the pandemic period. The world was going awry. What do you think like really prompted people to do that? Were they fed up? Were they ready to make a change in general?
One of the things that happened in the pandemic, I think, is that big moves didn't look quite as big. You know, I'd just been through a big move. I thought I had to work in the office 5 days a week, right, you know, whatever it was. And suddenly, boom, wow, my life is different. And I think it gave people permission to think about other big moves they could make.
Sure, sure. You're going from working full-time at your office job. Nothing has changed. Then you're thrown to work from home life, which is incredibly different. It's not social. So it's change. And then I guess it inferred more change. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, the list of reasons I can't make a change. I'm too busy. Money won't work. This is the only thing I really know how to do. People started to question those assumptions.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. And so going back to the at-home retreat, to sort of set the groundwork for people, what can anybody expect? Feelings going in, kind of feelings going out after doing the retreat, like what are the sort of expectations there?
Yeah. Well, we've been in touch with people who've done it, of course. People report significant shifts. So often it's like seeing possibilities that you've never allowed yourself to consider. And usually there's some growth in maybe confidence, or people feel empowered to take an important step, committed to a new direction, or gaining a skill to navigate a difficult challenge. So all of those things, in a way, I think it gives you the tools to make a big move.
Sure. Makes so much sense. Okay. Yeah. Well, here we are. We're going to go into section maybe 1, 2, and 3 of your retreat. I'm going to be your guinea pig. I've already done the retreat at home. I had a great experience with it. I came out of it feeling really positive. And honestly, the word I would use is like hopeful.
Yes.
All the exercises were, again, like, I feel like they were uplifting. You know what I mean? Like, I think difficult things come up, but it does make you feel empowered. And so I just want to say, like, I had a great experience going through it. I'm a little nervous for your questions now to sort of break it down with me, but let's just get into it.
Well, you sent me a photo, Emily, of the collage of your life vision. And I see that beautiful, I mean, there's the yin yang in the sand, and there's this beautiful picture of a woman in the sunshine with hand up in the air. So I'm getting a feeling of what you want to create in your life. And you also, in the collage, did some of the challenges that are there. And I wondered if you wanted to speak about the things that are in the way for you to manifest that vision for your life.
Sure, sure. This was really interesting to sort of break down. I feel like it was a lot easier to look at what I wanted my life to look like rather than reflecting on the obstacles. But of course, like in time, they came up for me. And I think one of them was from a mental health perspective. I am in therapy. I have a therapist. I see her every other week, and she's really helped me get through anxiety, living far away from friends and family, and sort of working through a lot of that work. And so, yeah, one of the pictures I took, it was like a dark cloud with a lightning bolt sort of weighing down. Like it's a vision that's sort of heavy. And so an obstacle, I think, that's in my way is, you know, my anxiety will never go away. It's part of, you know, who I am, but I can work on it, and I can continue to try to strive and grow. And so that was something that I think is an obstacle. It comes up in my work. It comes up in relationships, in sort of all facets of my life. So,
yeah. Well, the only thing I want to say about that is that as I look at your photo of your collage, it's really clear that the vision you have is like powerful, strong, radiant. And the obstacles, the way that they show up, there's fewer cards, and they're less dramatic. They've got drama, but they've got less power to them.
Sure.
So my judgment for you is that you have a powerful vision that will carry you. I appreciate the obstacle. Thank you for sharing that. I have no doubt that the vision that you have, where you're headed, what you want, is strong enough to get you through those obstacles.
Okay. Well, I like that feedback, and I like that outlook. So we're going to stick with that.
Okay, yeah. Good. And then when you did process 2 from the retreat, you explored impactful events in your life. And I wonder if you want to pick one that was particularly formative for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, when I think about the podcast, it's literally called The Big Move. So I would need to go with one of those. And I think whether it's going to college or when I moved to New York or making the move to London. I think there's so much to break down in all of those major moves and life changes. But I guess we could stick with my move to New York City. So going from college where, you know, I was really thrown into the unknown, but I had a great 4 years and I sort of found my feet, if you will. Moving to New York City was a massive turning point, I think, in my life. A lot of emotions, a lot of different challenges that came up. And I would use the word like scary. You know, you're moving to the, to the biggest, you know, the biggest cities. So much is unknown. So I would pinpoint that one.
Yes. And you're learning from it?
And my learning from it, such a loaded question. How is
that, like, embodied in your life now, something that you gained from that move?
I hate to be cliche, but it's like working really, really, really hard. I started my career, I built my career in ad tech, and then I ultimately left that career, but I built it over 6 or 7 years. I worked so hard, I hustled really hard, and then I worked on my side gig, which was my blog and my work as a content creator, which has ultimately transitioned into what I'm doing now as a podcaster and a content creator full time. So it all built itself up to then create this next stage of life for me here in London. So there's so much there, but I would say ultimately like that hustle really is synonymous with New York City. And I think if you're ambitious and you're built for it and you're motivated, I think it can be a really amazing place. I mean, it can suck you in and it could definitely give you a lot of that grit that everyone talks about. It's so true. But yeah, I would say that.
That's right. And I get the feeling that that is a big part of who you are, that courage, that focus. It's so beautiful to see that combined with the openness and the self-awareness and the curiosity that you so obviously have.
Thank you for saying that.
And then you did process three, the big want. And you synthesize that as you want a balanced and purposeful life, work and family.
Yes.
And I wondered if you have anything to say about what purpose or purposeful means to you.
Yeah, of course. I have my card right here. Has my big want on it.
Yes.
And I really liked this exercise so much. I think my big want is a little bit loaded, to be honest with you, but I went for it. A balanced life in the sense of work and family. Work is so important to me. Working hard and staying motivated is really important to me. My businesses are important to me. At the same time, family, friends, my children are, you know, my world. And so it's like finding that balance and not feeling frantic as a mom, which like feels a little bit ridiculous of an ask, but We're putting it down.
Yes, you're getting that balance.
And then I think the purposeful part for me is definitely going back to the work that I do. And I think, you know, I want to create value. I want to provide value for people. And so I think it's like sticking with that, making sure that, you know, that is my mission, and doing work that is purposeful is really important to me.
Yes. My experience with people is that when they're expressing their unique gifts, they feel on purpose. You know, it's like the highest way we can serve is to be fully ourselves. Sure. And I feel your commitment to do that, and that you found through this podcast and the other things you do a really great avenue to express that. And then the fourth process that you didn't send me a photo of, but I'm going to ask you anyway. We go through a whole process, which is very beautiful, about risks, dangers, and threats. But I wondered for you, do you know what your big risk is? What the thing is that makes you hesitate?
Okay, so my big risk, I think I'd have to take it back to vulnerability and being open about emotions and feelings, and being open in the work that I do and the content that I share, and taking it almost another layer is really scary for me. I think being vulnerable in general is scary to me. And that is something that I've always struggled with. And I would call it a risk, because it's a bit of like a question mark. It's like, okay, well, if I reveal too much, then, you know, what is someone going to say, or what are they going to think? What are people going to think of me? Right. So I think it would come back to that.
Yes. Certainly one I share. I think many people would share that with you as well. And I was saying that we don't really want to have people try to push through the big risk, but to be aware of it. And that there you were being vulnerable. So thank you. You know, our experience is that, and you very evidently show that you have the ability to be vulnerable. And it's actually not because you can't be vulnerable that you've protected it. It's because you can be vulnerable that you protected it. And we don't want you to push through that risk. The whole point of the retreat is that you learn, well, if I'm going to go forward, I need to find a way to skillfully navigate my life so that I can, on the one hand, be vulnerable, but also keep myself safe.
Sure. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for letting us explore that. And obviously the retreat's an at-home retreat, so all the kind of exploration that we've done in dialogue, you do on your own through journaling and using images and pictures and cards and other things. But I really appreciate the chance to do it in a conversation with you so we can show people where you can go with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And we will share at the end of this episode where everybody can find the at-home retreat. So just bear with us. We have a few more questions for you, David. So okay. I'm really, really curious. I know that you're really big on helping people find their unique gifts, their strengths, and their talents, as you've mentioned earlier in the conversation. I'm really curious, like, what is your approach here? And what is your recommendation for people to really tune into that?
Yeah. Best thing I've got, ask people who know you well. Find four people who are willing to give you some feedback about what your unique gifts might be, and hear how you look from other people. That's certainly one very good way to do it. There are other ways that in the retreat we look at our lives and glean evidence of what our unique gifts are. But if I could offer anything, it would be like, connect with people who know you well and get them to reflect back to you the qualities of who you are.
Sure. Sure. I love
that. And that's
that.
Something that we're offering as well. So I have a tool called the Gift Finder that we can do that for you. So if you want to send me an email, david@numina.team, free of charge to everybody on the audience, we'll reach out to four people who know you well. And then anonymize their feedback, synthesize it, get it back to you, so you can get some information about how other people see your unique gifts, strengths, talents, qualities.
That's really interesting. I know this is something that your team mentioned to me, so I'm so happy that you shared it. So is it a bit of like almost like a report that you're given? So after you do the synopsis, then
you end up with a paragraph which outlines qualities. It's not very big. It's just like, if you ask me to do it, I'm going to send an email to four of your friends saying, M wants to have some feedback about her unique gifts. We give some examples that people can go, and then they'll just fill in boxes and just feed that back to you.
Okay. Okay, cool. Cool. As one of my last questions, I'm curious if there's someone who is like feeling stuck, they're feeling at like maybe a crossroads in their career or their life, they're not sure like which direction to go, like what advice can you offer people to sort of get unstuck?
Yeah. Stop. Take a time out. The at-home transformation retreat's 3 hours. So take half a day. Give that gift to yourself, or find some other way of giving yourself space, perspective. But I think the fallacy is that I'm too busy to stop to change the things that are making me too busy doing things I don't want to do. So, that simple, I think, instinct to just don't let anything prevent you from giving yourself the time you need to reflect on what's happening for you.
Absolutely. We definitely need more of that right now. So thank you.
Yes, indeed.
As a final question, is there like a last word that you want to leave our audience with, a tip, any advice before you head out?
Let me see. I think the thing I would like people to become like instinctively confident about is that who we are, who you are, each of you, who you are. And by that, I particularly mean the unique gifts that just when you're at your best, you know that you bring this stuff and it's a real benefit to other people. And I would love to leave people with the confidence that who you are, exactly as you are, including the parts of you that you don't like, including all the things that you've been told might not be good about you, there's beauty in there. And you just have to find out how to bring more and more of yourself, and that will lead to fulfillment for you and great benefit to others and to the world.
Amazing. Well, that's a perfect place to end. Thank you so much for all of your insights today, for all of your advice. But what is coming up for you and Nomina that you want to share with the audience? Anything exciting on the horizon?
Well, the Gift Finder tool that we can just make available to everybody. I'm very happy that we're doing that. And for me to be able to encourage people to find a deeper part of themselves and to make moves in their life that are really going to be conducive to a greater experience of fulfillment and more of who they are coming through. Things like the at-home transformation retreat. I think for me, I always think about it as the clients or as customers, however we might put it, people getting benefit. And that's what's exciting for me. It's not really about our products. It's about the benefit that people get from them. And I think what's coming up for us is more and more people getting more and more benefit.
Perfect. Perfect.
And it's so gratifying to be part of that.
Absolutely. And where can everybody find Nomina and connect with you and all of that jazz?
Okay. So the at-home transformation retreat is on Amazon, including Amazon UK. So just search for Nomina, N for Nancy, Nomina on Amazon. And you can also go to Nomina.team. But really write to me, David@Nomina.team. We'll set you up with a gift finder and we'll help you in any way we can. So really happy to be able to have something that I can make available to people that I know will really help them.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing all of this today, David. We loved having you. So thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Emily.
And also, you guys, keep an ear out on social because Nomina has been kind enough to offer a 20% discount off of the at-home retreat, which is a half-day experience of deep reflection and vision to fuel the next chapter of your life. I have done it. I had such a positive experience with it. So look out for that. And thank you guys so much for listening. As always, if you found any value from this episode, share it with a friend, tag us on Instagram @TheBigMovePodcast and @Monday_network. We always love to hear from you and we'll catch you on the next episode.